Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And we're here for the next 2 hours. We're talking about car and car repair stuff. And I need that to hit that scale there.
Oh, okay.
All right. Because that's the wavelength I got.
You're really loud in my ear this morning.
Oh, well, then you just do local. See this local button right here?
Yeah. There
All right, watch now. How about that right there?
You're screaming at me already.
Yeah. Oh, my ex-wife's sitting next to me.
Gonna be. Yeah,
gonna be ex-wife. And so we've been doing radio since 1988, and a lot of times we did it together.
Yeah.
And so, you can answer questions because you've spent so much time on the front counter. And the real benefit to that is you heard the symptoms, mm-hmm. then you did the billing.
Yes.
So you saw the symptoms and the repair.
Right.
And so you could put those together.
Yeah.
And speaking of somebody, we already have Chris on the phone. I want to go to Chris just right off the bat because they've been waiting. So, Chris, good morning. How can we help you?
Oh, boy, I've been hoping to make this phone call for years, but it's finally made. We've got a truck, a 79 F-150 with an inline six, and it's been in storage for about 14 years. But we finally won the court case, and we're going to get it towed from California to Arizona.
Okay.
And it's going to need tires. It's going to, I'm guessing, gas tank dip, radiator dip, filter replace, fuel line clean out, carb rebuild. Am I missing anything?
No, and there's no guarantee you're going to need all that list.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if I was charged with that, we'd use an electric pump, we'd suck out the fuel tank. We'd probably put some carburetor cleaner in there. We'd put fresh gas, we'd go forward, replace the fuel filter. We'd put our hand over the top of the carburetor and crank it over, and if it started, we'd go, "Wah!" And because when you put the hand over the carburetor, all the vacuum from the engine, all the suck from the engine pulls trash out of all those jets. So, but you have a gloved hand because there's a possibility of a backfire, and if your gloved hand is over there, it's not going to burn you.
Yeah.
So we use big leather gloves for that. And then we would probably, is it a stick or automatic?
The stick.
Okay, so I change the fluid in the stick. I change the fluid in the differential. Is it a two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive?
It's a two-wheel drive.
Okay, so I change the transmission fluid and I change the differential fluid. What else can we do?
And I'd put new tires on it before you went on any kind of a long test drive if they're that old.
Yeah, if they're 10 years old or more, if this is possible, these tires are 10 or 15 years. I'm telling you that it's more likely than not they in a sequence are going to blow up, and you better hope it's not on the freeway when you're doing 65 miles an hour.
And we won't even touch them after 10 years,
right,
anyway, so nobody would take them off. So
that's
other
it.
Than change them out to new tires.
And what we do is we take a 1-inch hole saw and we drill through the sidewall of tires that are expired so that nobody can put them back on a car. So it's our small way of ensuring that those old tires are not going to be sold by somebody who's got a used tire shop.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I do the cooling system. There's
okay.
No question I'd flush the cooling system. But I wouldn't do anything to the tank. That filter's going to catch the trash, and we can replace it a lot cheaper than we can to pull the tank and have it boiled.
Oh.
And then
okay.
as far
so
as spark plugs
suck
and stuff,
it out.
Yeah, just suck it out.
Yeah, and then see how it runs and then go from there.
And
yeah.
the filter's going to catch any trash that goes between the tank and the carburetor.
Yeah.
And so if it all of a sudden it'll do 17 but it won't do 18, the filter's plugged up and da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And the filter's going to be up by the carburetor. So now that's kind of a cool truck.
Yeah. Oh, I put some miles on it. That was a great truck.
Okay.
It's pristine, too. I mean, it's like 165,000 miles.
Wow.
Oh. And that's nothing for us to see that. My truck has 178,000 miles on it, and it's as fresh as a daisy.
Yeah, but it's a 2012. His is a 79.
I know, but
40-some years old. 44.
I know. What's the approximate mileage on that? You said
165.
Oh, yeah, 165. I know. He's going to have a little bit of burning oil at the very beginning until we get the rings unstuck. He's going to use a 30-weight oil in it so that we can thicken up the viscosity just a tad. He may have to put spark plugs in it and may have to put points in it, but probably not. If it was parked running, it should run okay. But I don't want him to spend a whole lot of money because this is an opportunity for someone in our industry to go, oh, every fluid, brake fluid, diff, transmission. We're going to pack the wheel bearings. We're going to sell you new tires. We're going to rinse out your radio and stupid stuff. We're going to replace your windshield wiper washer. He can figure that out himself. Mm-hmm. Let's put it on the road and let's make sure it has good brakes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it throttles up and good brakes and that's it.
All right. Can I please have tow it to you?
Sure you can.
We're months out, though, honestly.
We're out quite a bit right now. He's not going to care. What part of town do you live in?
I'm in Scottsdale.
Okay. South or north?
I'm over by Mesa Community College.
Okay.
Thompson's would
probably I'm sorry, Scottsdale Community College.
Okay. What about Craig at Bell Auto? I mean,
he'd be a great guy.
Craig at Bell Auto is a month out too. We got another car going to him.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're probably till January for that year of truck, just because
we're just swamped.
Yeah,
and we got 20 bays, and we're swamped. So you can call and make an appointment, and then what we have is we have a drop off. So if somebody doesn't show up, then we go to that list and call them up and say, "Hey, get your car in here if you can, and we're going to go take care of it." So we are working in that fashion.
Yeah.
But you can make a firm appointment, and you know if you've been in there however many years, then you can wait another 6 months.
Well, yeah, and I think the 25-year-old or older—that's what we're struggling with because we don't have that many techs that do the older ones. It's a couple of them, so they get so behind.
That's a good point. Yeah. We got lots of techs that work on all aspects of the cars, and we got guys that are really good with ignition systems and fuel systems and power steerings and all that. But we have two guys that are just really the cat's meow of old cars. And they know what to, and both of them are shaggy-headed, gray-haired guys. Mm-hmm. Both of them have been in the car repair business for 30, 40, 50 years. And you're talking about Ron and Eddie?
Yeah, but Eddie's only 55, so probably not 50, but he's been with us 34.
34 years.
Yeah.
And then Ron's been with us how many years?
Yeah, probably 15 altogether.
Altogether.
Yeah, he left for a little while to go back to Idaho and then came back. Yeah.
So those two guys are what we call the fishbowl bays. So as you look out from the lobby, the first two bays is Eddie and the next two bays are Ron. And that's because all the hot rods are there and people love to look at the hot rods and your truck would be in one, two, or three, or four. So, but talk to Craig and you can make an appointment for us, and get it home. And they get it washed up and vacuumed up and blow all the cobwebs off of it. So you can still do that.
Yeah, get some tires on there.
Yeah, and I would go to discount, and I'd put the stock tires back on there, and I'd put steel-belted radials. That's what I would do.
Okay. The stock steel-belted radials.
Yep. They'll fit just fine, and you're updating the truck with a nicer ride. And they're good, solid tires, and they'll go a lot longer than the tires that came on that, which is a bias-ply non-radial tire. And they're going to have a lot of nylon in them, and they're going to have four flat spots in the morning. And when you drive for the first 10 miles, it's going to feel like you're driving on a railroad track. So
no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, and this is an upgrade. So they make an ignition system, an updated pointsless electronic ignition system.
Oh, okay.
They make a distributor this where you can convert it to electronic ignition. That's kind of cool. But if you want to keep it like old, like it was, then you'd keep points and get a condenser in it. But really, you're going to do a tune-up at 15,000 miles, that 10 to 15,000 miles. So it's not like it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Yeah, I'd like it to be EMP proof. So how do I get a hold of you guys?
We're at 480-598-1234. 480-598-1234. You're going to talk to Andy or Alan. That's my son and my daughter. And say, I talked to your dad on the radio, and I've got this old truck, 79 Ford pickup that hasn't driven for, 100 years, and when can I bring it in? And will you put me on standby?
Okay.
Alrighty. Well, thank you, Chris. Thank you very much. All righty. 602.
Thank you.
602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. There's a lot of shops, and I'm going to get to you right away, but I got to do a spot real quick.
Okay.
This portion of On the Hood is brought to you by Action Auto. He's located at I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom, I've been a friend of his since 1983. No, that's when he has. I've been friends with him. I got it here somewhere. I've known him since before we where we had our Wachuki Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
That was 79.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've known him, and he's a good guy. He has ASC certified technicians. I-17 in Deer Valley, northwest corner. If you live in that general vicinity and you're looking for a good shop, I'd like to recommend Action Auto. Who might we have, Gil?
Say hello to Howard.
Howard, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Happy 4th. And thank this isn't the Howard that's going to bust your balls, that you know. Okay, so this is...
Woo,
this,
baby!
No, you have a guy named Howard that's your friend, but
okay.
I'm your friend too, but you don't know me.
Okay.
So here's the situation. This is the guy that has the Mercury Sable with the brake lights on, but I keep driving it.
Uh-huh.
I've been driving it for 2 years like that, but that's not why I called you. I called to tell you how sage your advice is. Because I've gone to Thompson's, mm-hmm. and they handled me where no one else would,
okay.
because I was in a hurry. And I've gone to Harker's. And okay. what you say is the real deal, young man. You're telling the truth. They're straight up honest, and they do the job. They're a little pricey, but everybody's pricey. Everybody wants all their money.
Well, let me tell you what pricey is. Before this all happened, what was our labor rate?
Before. I think it was 140, 150.
Yeah, 140, 150, and what are we at now?
175.
Well, but see, here's the deal. The technicians are asking for more money because of that.
Right.
So we're paying a little bit more money, and the parts pricing has gone up as well.
Yeah.
So our difference between 140 and 175 really represents our labor costs, mm-hmm. and the new technicians want more money.
Yeah, because some of these people out there are paying $200 or billing $2 and $2.15 an hour.
We got all kinds of shops that have been brought to our attention that are north of the $200 mark, $215 mark. They don't deserve that. They're not that quality of a shop. But then again, I'm not the lord of car repair and labor rates.
But they're making it tough for us, because when the guys come from there, they want the big bucks. Yeah.
So they do make it tough. But anyway, Howard, thank you very much for your call. That's a wonderful call, and I saved it for Harker's and Thompson. I'll cut it out and send it to them, and they'll be honored that you said that. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We've got 5 lines open, and you're welcome to grab one of them. One more time, 602-598-0960.
Hugh Hewitt sees
Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. It's kind of cool how you and Gil helped me out, because I gave the wrong phone number. And you're let me turn you on. Then you're saying, you gave the wrong number. And then Gil hears you say, you gave the wrong number. Then he says, do it again.
Yeah.
And exactly. So, I mean, all in a period of 4 seconds, we fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the number is 602-508-0960. What did I say, 1, 2, 3, 4?
No, you said 598.
Oh, 598. Okay, yeah, 602-508-0960.
There you go.
And I'm used to 598-1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I know.
All right, anyway, well, let's go to the phones, because we have Tom and Bruce. But, Tom, you were first. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for the show.
Uh-huh.
I have an 07 Ford Ranger.
Okay.
It's like brand new. It's only got 35,000 miles on it. And it has automatic door locks. And one of them is misbehaving. And I don't want to do it myself. And I'm wondering, is that the kind of thing I could take to Thompson's, or should I take it to Ford?
Oh, no. Oh, no. That on a 1 to 10 scale, that's a 3. That's
okay.
Really, yeah. We're gonna probably pop the latch assembly out, and without tearing up the door panel, and they're gonna jump a couple of wires, and they're gonna test for power and a ground, and you reverse that to make the window. You have power touching power, and then when we do ground, you're gonna reverse the polarity. So that's how it goes up and down.
On my truck, I'm one of the few that I still have roll up windows.
Oh, well, that's just a regulator, and we fixed a lot of those with a spot weld here and a spot weld there. Here a spot, there a spot.
Wait.
He says the window won't go up and down.
Right, okay.
The regulator's in the door.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, it's the door lock, the automatic door lock.
Okay.
Is getting the
problem. Okay. And they're electric, right? Electric door lock?
Yes, sir. I got one of those key fobs that turns it on remotely and opens it up and sets the alarm, all that kind of thing.
All right. So when you lock and unlock the door with your fob, only one door's working, the other one's okay?
Well, one of them is starting to go away. It's real loud, and sometimes it makes, ungodly noises, and it's gonna stop working. any time now.
Okay. So we really only have one door lock to deal with because the other one's not noisy and seems to work open and close the lock.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, it's just going to be going to the door panel and lube it and see what the noise is. Maybe it's come loose from its mounting. Yeah. Maybe it's leaking a little bit of oil, and we would change that.
Yeah.
So it's really a matter of just taking the door panel off. But that's one of those things that you're going to pay the door panel off, and then, and I'm not trying to talk you into anything, but in any shop, if you don't have the thing, they're still going to pay you the R&R. You got to take it off and put it back on. You're still going to pay that. But hopefully they'll write it down and say, this is what it needs to be done, and this is the estimate for it.
Yeah, and Thompson should be able to do that, no problem.
On a 1 to 10 scale, this is a 3 or a 4. This is not a 9 or a 10.
Okay.
And then
so
when you go to Thompson, you just say, Mark Salem said you don't have a prayer in hell of fixing this, but if you need help, call him.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll laugh, right, just like you laugh. They'll laugh.
Okay.
All right?
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Happy 4th of July.
Thank you very much. Bruce, you're up next.
Yeah. Hi, Mark. I've been listening to you for many years, like 30.
Okay.
I have 2017 Hyundai with 58,000 miles on it. Took it in for a free software update to the dealer. And, of course, he has the opportunity to look at the car and comes back with an email to me because I was home. I left the car there with recommendations to do a injector flush, brake fluid change, coolant change, alignment, you know, the whole bit. With a detailed explanation of why you should do each one of these things, which I thought was interesting because I listened to you a long time. So I called the dealer. I said, well, where does this take us in the manual that I need to do this? You know, your old trick that you keep talking about.
Okay, now stop. He said, you're in Arizona and your manual wasn't written for Arizona.
He said, you have to check the asterisks at the bottom that shows different conditions.
Right.
So, like if you're towing.
Yeah.
Or if you're only driving a mile or two, or if you're, you know, if the, it's the cold it talked about. It didn't say anything about heat.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm one of those weird guys that reads the owner's manual. And I said, well, it says change the coolant at 120,000 miles. Well, you know, then he says, you need to follow the exceptions in there. And then the injector flush, they said, you know, you got carbon buildups because of the ethanol and the gasoline in Arizona. So, I don't know. It's just all kinds of things that you say are going to happen.
All right, but let me comment. Let me comment, okay? You would have liked it better if he had called you and said, hey, does this have a rough idle? Do you ever have an extended cranking thing? How's your fuel economy? Do you smell rotten eggs? None of that, right? None of that. So if there's an injector problem, one of those is going to happen. But if you say none of those do work, and first of all, the service writer wouldn't have a clue as to what to say. But it's well, tell me what you see that tells you I need that. And it's really a feel-good thing. And I want to tell you something. When we have jet flush injectors, we make some money, honey. And it's because the equipment's really expensive, and this flush is really expensive, so we make a lot of money. As far as all the rest of that stuff, go buy your manual and don't listen to them. And it's going to be mileage or time, and then you can call them and ask them. But the stuff that they gave you is all high profit, low risk. All we're going to do is flush the brake fluid. They make a litmus paper that you can stick in your brake fluid and your coolant, and it'll tell you a pass-fail. You can go get that from an AutoZone. So, and then you have to have symptoms associated with this. He says, well, you know, we need to replace all the fan belts. Well, it's only a 17. So, I mean, it's
58,000 miles.
Yeah, 58,000 miles. That's not anything that's even reasonable. I think you and I, what are we running our hoses and belts? Isn't it close to 80 to 100,000 miles?
Yeah, usually we say 80 or 8 years.
Okay, so that's what we usually say. We know that those parameters, the cars that are towed in with cooling system problems are usually north of 80,000 miles or 8 years old. So it's just, but
well,
you see.
You know, I did say to the guy, what symptom is this going to fix? And he says, well, I don't know. He says, it's just recommended by our technicians that you do this at these intervals.
And so right now we're so busy that our technicians can't sell nothing. We're up to our ears in alligators, but there's lots of shops that are not. And so as a result, they start pushing pressure on their technicians. Got to find something wrong. We need to get that ticket price up. And you have the brake tire rotation, brake jobs, upper control arm bearings, all the fluids, the cooling system, the transmission fluid, the brake fluid. You got all that stuff, and it's all high profit. Now, on the brake fluid stuff, we have equipment that we look at the brake fluid, and we look how much water it's got in the brake fluid, how much moisture, because that system's really airtight. So your 2017 can be just fine. So,
I have a tool that checks the condensation of the brake fluid, and he backed off that one. So.
Yeah, and see, that's...
It was interesting.
It's going on in our industry because the 3,000-mile oil change is gone. The 3,000-mile oil change is gone. So we don't get to clip your hair every 3,000 miles. Everybody's at 7 and 10,000 miles. So we've lost a whole lot of business when we're clipping your hair and you come in for your oil change. The tire rotations and the windshield wiper blades and they're flushing this and flushing that. They're only flushing your wallet. That's the only flush they're doing, is they're flushing your wallet. And I got 9 seconds to get out, so I'm going to say to you, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we have 5 lines open.
Take the Patriot with you wherever you go.
Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. Mark Salem and Renee Salem here with you. And Suzanne and John are our next two callers. If you'd like to join us, if you have a car question or a car problem, or if your wife says this and your grandpa says this and your uncle says this, then give me the question and I'll chime in. Mm-hmm. Or Renee can chime in.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Anyway, let's go to Suzanne. Suzanne, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for taking my call and for providing the service for us.
Sure.
I have two questions. One is about my air conditioner in my car. I have a 2007 F-150 Ford pickup truck, and recently I took it to Sun Devil Auto, and I took it there because my air conditioning seemed like it wasn't very cold, and I have like about 150,000 miles on my truck. So they charged me a bunch of money and flushed out the air conditioner, and then they put some very $200 or $300 some kind of coolant in it
refrigerant. Yeah.
And it works, but it doesn't seem like it works as well as it used to. And so my question is the refrigerant they use now just not as good, or did they not do a good job?
No. We need to do a little bit of testing here. I want you to open up the hood of the truck, and I'm sure the air conditioning compressor is there. And you're going
to
turn on your...
Not right now.
What you're going to do is you're going to find your air conditioning compressor. It's going to have two tubes coming off the back of it, and it's going to be on a fan belt, okay? And you're going to start your truck up, and you're going to let it idle, and you're going to go maximum fan, maximum everything. Turn the temperature down as low as it goes. Then you're going to touch the back of those two tubes. If they're readily accessible, one of them's going to be hot, not hot enough to burn you, and the other better be ice cold. Ice cold. Hot and cold. Okay. If you end up with one that's hot and one that's cold, you're okay. That cold is the low side, and we send that refrigerant to a radiator that's underneath the dash, and behind it we have a fan. So the fan blows air through the radiator that's cold, and then that's distributed to your things. Now, you could have a problem with the blend door. The blend door opens and closes, and it gives you all hot or all cold, and sometimes they stick in the middle where you get a little bit of hot and a little bit of cold. We know how to check that, because what we're going to do is we're going to go into defrost, and it should blow through the dash, and then we're going to go to floor, and it should blow through the floor. That door is opening and closing like it should. Mm-hmm. The prices they charged you are fair.
And they have to put in the same refrigerant that they took out, so it's not a different kind. I know newer cars have different refrigerant now, but... the one that they took out of yours, which is probably the R134, is what they had to put back in. And that's a little bit more expensive because it's a little bit hard to get. And actually, the newer stuff is even more expensive.
But the R12 is really expensive.
Oh, yeah, because that's like non-existent anymore.
Right, I know, but we have lots of R12, but we only put it in those cars that really benefit.
Right.
All you need to do is touch that. And if you have a problem where that's ice cold, but it's not real cold in the car, then somebody just needs to check the blend door, which is underneath the dash. But here's how you check it. Go to defrost and see if it comes out of defrost. Go to floor and see if it comes out floor. I don't care what the temperature is. You can go hot. You can go cold. I don't care. But a windshield and floor. If it gives you 100% air out of the windshield and 100% out of the floor, you don't have a door problem.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is now we have to put in the exact amount of refrigerant. And if they got it a little bit over, a little bit under, that can make it blow a little bit warm, too.
And we're going to suck out your refrigerant and hang on to it. We're going to clean it up, remove the moisture, remove the trash, and then we put two, let's say we put 24 ounces back in, but it's a 36-ounce system. Mm-hmm. So we're going to use your refrigerant and give it back to you, but we're going to sell it back to you because we've just cleaned it up and we virtually made it new. So we're going to clean it up and charge you for that, and then we're going to add 4 ounces or 6 ounces over here. And
12,
whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think they added a couple ounces, and I forget what kind it was. It was some letter and number.
Well, yeah. R12 is.
They told me they weren't using the same thing that they took out. I don't think.
You got an 07 F-150, and that's probably going to be – that's not going to be an R12.
I don't think
that's
so.
That's going to be a 123, right? Or a
134.
134.
Yeah.
And 123 is another one
out there. I don't know how they could have – because don't you have to convert the systems if you're going to put a different refrigerant in?
No, she probably came with the 134.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's 150,000 02 F-150. So
okay.
I'm pretty sure it came with the 134.
Right.
So if they sucked it out and they put yours back in, it was 134, and then they added another 8 ounces of 134 to top you off. That's
right.
All that process is normal. I won't comment on price, but all that process is normal. Now, let me ask you real quick. Do you know the difference between normal and maximum?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me what the difference is.
Maximum, I don't bring in outside air.
Bingo, 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 bingo.
Recirculatory, though.
It's maximum is recirculation. So we suck the air from the feet of the passenger, mm-hmm. we cool it off, and send it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
A normal, you have to have the windows open because we're sucking outside air in. That could be 130-degree temperature. We're going to try to cool that off and throw that at you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the deal. I don't know if you're married or not, but just take this as a joke. The guy sitting next to you stinks. and for whatever reason, BO or whatever.
Well, and where do you come up with this stuff?
Let me finish.
Okay.
Okay, so the person next to you stinks. You roll his window down just a little bit, and you go to maximum.
Okay.
We're going to blow that out that window.
Okay.
Okay? So we're going to use that. We don't want to do recirculatory because we're going to take his stink or her stink and recirculate it.
Okay.
So drop the passenger window and all that goes out.
Okay.
Gosh darn. It's the difference between the air conditioning in your house and a swamp cooler.
Right.
Okay, the swamp cooler, you open up the window, we get airflow through it. So I'm making a joke about that, but it's a good way to describe the difference.
Oh, it is, yes.
I could use other things that would really make you mad, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And, John, I'll be with you first, I promise. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We're going to clear up something.
Okay.
You accuse me of being too technical sometimes, and it is true.
Okay.
The first old cars with air conditioning used 12.
Right.
And then the second group of vehicles was 134, and mm-hmm. today it's 1234.
Right.
And when we do the swap out, we usually flush the oil out because there's a different oil for each one of them, mm-hmm. and the oil is circulated through the system to help everything get going.
Okay.
So we're going to fill it up. And then there's also a little bit of a conversion. If you use 3 pounds, you should use 2.6 and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the times we know how much to put back in it because we're looking at the gauges and we're looking at the center vent temperature and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Suzanne had one more question. Suzanne, go right ahead.
Oh, thank you. I did look up on my receipt and it was they used R134A.
Okay.
Freon.
Mm-hmm. That's the one for your 07 Ford.
Okay, that's good. My okay. other question was, I live in Carefree, and I don't think, I was wondering if you knew any honest and good car repair shops somewhere around here.
Are you closer to Scottsdale Road, or are you closer to Pima, the 101?
I'm kind of in between the two.
Okay. Well, Blackwell's at 40th and Greenway. And you can tell
Blackwell?
Him, Mark. Yeah, Blackwell Automotive. And you
okay.
just tell him Mark Salem says you're good enough, but you're not the best. And he'll laugh. He'll laugh. Okay. And that's really the closest I've got up there.
Yeah, because I think the other
is
guys that are.
Street and what?
Greenway, 40th and Greenway.
Okay.
Okay.
And here's a joke for you.
Okay.
Just real quick. Well, it's actually not a joke, but it's kind of funny. It's way easier to get a hold of you than it is when I call up my doctor cardiologist and I've got, you know, a problem.
Yeah.
I got a human right away, so thank you.
Yeah, oh, no. And really, I think you'll agree, Renee, this answering calls like this is 24 hours a day for me.
Yeah,
except for
much.
Sleeping. I mean, emails and stuff like that. People don't call me because they don't have my phone number.
Right.
But emails and stuff like that. But thank you, Suzanne. John, how can we help you today, John?
You there?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I'm looking to purchase a mid-size SUV, a diesel, and I'm wondering if there's anything that you have better motor.
No, I need to give you to give me your three options. You tell me what the three is.
I would be looking at. Maybe the BMW, the Audi, and Range Rover.
Give me another. Give me a couple more. you know what?
That's what I'm at.
Okay. Yeah. None of those. I would recommend none of those. They're very expensive cars. Very expensive cars. And when you buy a water pump for a General Motors or a Ford or a Chrysler, you'll spend $100 with a water pump with one of those. And this is a guess example. You might spend $300-$400 for the pump. It's very expensive of a car to fix. It doesn't make up for 2% of all the cars on the road. So if you break down in Road Forks, New Mexico, that guy can fix Chevy Fords and Hondas and Toyotas and Dodges, but he's going to send you a tow truck. So I don't like any of those kinds of SUVs because they're extremely expensive. And frankly, I have to call you and tell you that your air conditioning compressor just went And then I'm going to tell you it's $1,500 to $2,000. And I'm not telling the people with the Chevy, the Ford, the Dodge, the Honda, and Toyota that.
Yeah.
So if you want, let me go, you want a diesel.
Yeah.
And obviously the Ford, the Dodge, and the Chevrolet all have diesels in their sport utility vehicles. Let me just tell you this. My son has a Dodge. I have a Dodge.
Okay, but those are trucks. Are they?
They're still SUVs. You can
still
get a four-door, four-wheel drive
yeah.
with diesels in them.
And I just bought a Jeep, and I love it. It's a diesel.
And it's a diesel. Yeah. So, and she paid three times what we paid for our first house for that Jeep. So you need to be ready for the SUV, big boy. Anyway, I like the Dodge. I like the Chevy. I like the diesels in all of them. The 6.6 on the Chevrolet, the 6.7 on the Dodge, and the 6.7 on the Ford, too. So I think you stick with one of those SUVs. And not only that, there's a whole lot of guys that can fix those. We work on those a lot, and that doesn't say that they need a lot of work. There's the volume that we have, and we don't struggle with those fixing them. We're not finding the parts are completely out of whack. I mean, they do have their idiosyncrasies, but here's the problem. You have a problem, and you take it to the wrong guy, and he guesses, and you spend $800 with him, and he doesn't fix it. That sets you into a mindset that you need to go to the dealer or something like that. So then you go to the dealer, or you go to another shop, and then there's going to be hopefully those two guys can figure it out. But there's lots of independent shops that are going to be really tight with diesels. Nate is strictly diesel up at Pinnacle Peak and I-17's one. Blackwell does diesels. Thompson's done diesels. We do diesels. So we do a lot of the performance stuff as well as the maintenance stuff, and we also do the modification stuff, tires and wheels, lift them, lowering them, exhaust systems, and all that stuff. But if you're just going to drive it around and use it as a family car, you don't need to spend that kind of money. If you're single and foolish and you have a whole lot of money, then I can help you spend it.
Then go buy one of those other vehicles. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, buy one of those other vehicles. Yeah. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
John,
so
there's
stick with the Jeep, the Chevy, GMC,
yeah.
Ford.
Yep.
And Dodge.
Yeah. And I drive a Dodge. My wife drives a Jeep, and they're made by the same company, I think, your Jeep and my Dodge.
Yeah.
We've got lots of customers with the Duramax diesel, and that's the Chevrolet, the Duramax. And then we got the Ford diesel out there, and there's a lot of guys that drive Fords.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you want a diesel, it's one of those. Now let me tell you about Renee's. Renee's has got the Jeep Rubicon. What's that other thing? Gladiator.
It's a Gladiator.
Gladiator,
yeah.
Says that it's a pickup truck, four-wheel drive pickup truck, but it's also a four-door.
Yes.
Yes. And it's really nice. It's got lots of power. And it's really, really nice to drive. Now, we leveled it out, so now it's not drooping in the front. We put 38-inch tires. We reprogrammed the speedometer to reflect the right amount because the tires were quite different than those. And it runs like a rocket ship. Mm-hmm. And it's a Gladiator. The Rubicon is the interior trim level.
Yeah, yeah, and the towing stuff and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the package.
We love that.
One more thing, do you recommend or do you reprogramming diesel?
Well, it just depends. Some of it's illegal. and we reprogrammed her tire diameter. So you take the diameter times pi and it tells you the circumference. So if they're showing it in a diameter, we change the diameter. If they're showing it in a circumference, we do that. We make the transition. There are some programmers that you can plug in and add a little bit more squirt or a little longer squirt, and they'll oftentimes give you a noticeable difference, but it's not going to turn your Lizard four-cylinder Jeep into a Rapid Roy the race car boy kind of car. Mm-hmm. But if you want that kind of thing, then there's a lot of shops in the town can add some power to something in a diesel.
Yeah. Now, like the Gladiator, they don't. This is a 2023, so it's not out yet.
Yeah,
it's brand new. But I don't need any more power than it has already.
Well, so. And I got to tell you something. I drive her truck, and so do you, mm-hmm. from Payson to Tempe all the time because we have horses up in Payson, and we like it up in Payson. I mean, when you climb Mount Ordon, that you set the cruise control for whatever you want, and that thing's going to take that cruise control all the way to the top of the mountain. So if you set it at a speed limit 65, and like my wife sets it at 95, whew, she's going fast.
Oh, stop.
So, but you can look at all of them. You can look at all of them, okay?
Sounds real good.
All right. Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Let me talk real quick about, we talked about a lot of shops that I recommend. And let me tell you about this. This is kind of important. I recommend shops, and I'm also involved in disputes. I'm recommending shops where I know who owns it. I know their wife. I have their cell phones. I know their technicians. I know they've been around a long time. I've checked with the parts guys. Does Mark pay his bills? Does he ever return parts after he tries this and tries that? Is he a good shop? Is he a shop that you send your mother to? And I'm talking to the parts people that provide that. I can tell you that there's been times I say that thing and they go, he doesn't even pay his bill. He's a big jerk. And he returns almost, and he buys a mass airflow sensor, he puts it on the car, and that's not it, so he returns it. So he's using our brand new parts to help his diagnosis. That's what I hear sometimes. Otherwise they say, oh no, I use Blackwell. Oh no, I use Martin's Auto. Oh no, no, I use this, I use that. So those guys are the ones I recommend. I'm really serious about that, and I tell people, if you have a bad time and it's determined the shop did something wrong and they won't pay you, depending on the circumstances, I will.
Or fix your car.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.
Lines are open.
So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960.
And I was going to comment about Bruce, his call today about how he took it into the dealer for a software update, and then they gave him a laundry list. And I happened to work the last 2 weeks at the shop, which I don't always work
there. Because our daughter Andy took her family to Alaska.
Yeah, and Alan was gone the week before. So I can't tell you how many people called in and said, hey, I need a second opinion because the dealer told me I need this, this, and this. And it's crazy. It's just like what they did to Bruce.
Okay,
you know,
so
it's stuff that...
All right, let me ask you. I'm interrogating you.
Okay, yes.
You, when you're doing that,
uh-huh.
and Alan was gone for, what, 10 days, and then Andy was gone for 10 days?
Uh-huh.
And to tell you the truth, one of our customers owns a bunch of cabins.
Right.
And he's taken a real liking to Andy and Alan.
Uh-huh.
So he said to Alan, come on up.
Yeah.
He'll give you a cabin for nothing. Well, you got to fly up and back. And,
yeah.
And Alan paid because I told him you got to pay.
Yeah, no, they paid,
so
yeah.
They spent 10 days with their kids and loved it. They halibut fish. They, what was the other one? Salmon.
Yeah.
And so then the customer says to Andy, you too. Mm-hmm. So Andy's our CEO, CFO. Alan handles our mechanical engine, a mechanical portion. He manages the shop. He's 6'6". He's a big boy. Nobody messes with him. And he knows the diesels like nobody else. So it's really important from a point of view that you see the work order. You write the work order from the front counter. They mm-hmm. tell you everything. Then you get to see the end work order because it comes across your desk.
Right.
So you're looking to make sure the symptoms are there mm-hmm. and the repair is there and they match.
Right. And this was just like, I need a flush and I need this and stuff that was way off the mileage that they
didn't need this one.
Yeah.
This one what?
This one guy brought it in and same thing. He needed like four different fluid flushes and he needed none of those.
Okay.
You know, he was at like 37,000 miles. So
okay.
It was...
All right, we have equipment to test coolant. We have equipment to test brake fluid.
Mm-hmm.
We can visually smell the rest of them.
Yeah.
And Freon, we're not going to do anything with unless it's low. So
yeah.
When you look at the big picture, it's pretty easy to determine whether you need that stuff.
Sure.
If we take the brake fluid lid off and it looks like chocolate milk,
yeah.
Yes, you need that.
Mm-hmm.
If we take the power steering and it looks like chocolate milk instead of red cherry soda pop, you need it.
Yeah. So it's good they're getting second opinions, or best thing is look at your owner's manual and go by that.
And in that particular case, you're right. You already know the owner's manual disagreed with those things. We'll be back.
More.
My clock, and I'll push that button to make sure that you can hear me. And the lines are wide open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We have five lines, and we're pretty good at dealing with fights about this or fights about that or arguments in a family and all that kind of stuff. Then we just stick with car stuff, okay? We're not going to talk about, you know, anything else. We're not marriage counselors, just car stuff. 602-508-0960. Renee had to step out because she had another call. She's coming back. But let me just explain some background if you want. Hopefully it doesn't bore you. Renee and I were married a hell of a long time ago. We're going to be at a 51st anniversary in February. We dated through high school, and both of us have been in the business together. So in 1979, Renee was working for Valley National Bank, and I was hired by Scottsdale to be a policeman. I was a policeman for about 10 years. Renee worked at the bank for 10 years. Then we start having kids. We have three kids, but Alan and Andy run our operation. And so we went together, and when we opened up an Ahwatukee Mobile, which was a mobile station in Ahwatukee, that was 1979. And at that point, we started working together, and we have ever since. So we went from Guadalupe Mobile, or Ahwatukee Mobile, to Guadalupe and Warner or Elliott or Baseline. No, it was off of Guadalupe and something in South Tempe. And we had a six-bay shop there, and then we left there. We went to another small shop, and then we built our own facility, which is where we're at on Warner Road, 910. Just east of the freeway, south side of the road. So we have a 20-bay operation. The kids run it. Renee and I are somewhat retired, but if one of the kids is gone, then Renee will step into that position, and if we have one or two technicians gone, then I'll step in, and I'm pretty good at writing service as well. But we're all involved in the beginning and the end of everything. So we've been well-schooled about this symptom usually means this. Or when you come in and you say, I need my injectors flush, we're going to have a conversation about that. How does it idle? How's your fuel economy? Does it ever stall for stupid reasons? Do you ever smell rotten eggs? Those are all really important questions. The rotten eggs means you're running rich. That means an injector is flooding the engine with fuel. And the computer can't process it and can't. And the catalytic converter is struggling, so hence this rotten egg smell. So that's kind of what happens at the front counter in a lot of shops. We're going to ask you about why you need that. Why do you need a transmission flush, a brake fluid flush, a cooling system flush? What does your owner's manual say? It's not uncommon for somebody to go in any of our shops to go out and get your owner's manual. Where's it at? In the glove box or center console? Let's go get it and look. Well, it's calling for a this fluid flush at 100,000 miles. What do you got on it now? 45? Let me look at it, smell it, and let me tell you. Oh, it smells brand new. It's not dirty. So I'd leave it. I wouldn't do that. So there's lots of shops that do that, but there's lots of shops that are on the other side of that spectrum. And they're selling a whole lot of stuff. And while many of us are booked, Renee just said not so long ago, I think we're booked into January, and a lot of other shops are too, there's a heck of a lot of shops that don't have business because they've ruined their reputation in the neighborhood they're at. And so they're sitting there waiting for, you to pull in. And when you pull in, how do I put this nicely? They pull the wool over your eyes. and they take advantage of you. Anyway, we got a caller. Who might that be, Gil?
Hey, good morning to John.
John, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you. Hey, this is a quick question for you. Since you've been working on cars for many years, it should be real easy. I have a really, really old Toyota Celica. It's got the 20R in it, and thing runs forever. I've done a lot of work to keep it running, but pretty much the engine's still the same. It's got about 520 on it. I've been told Marvel Mystery Oil would be something I could benefit from putting in a little bit in each tank of gas. What are your thoughts on that?
I think what's happening here is that somebody else is buttering their bread and they're telling you a fib and they're trying to sell you on the idea that your engine's going to love you, it's going to last forever, and if you put this additive in your gas tank, your motor's going to love you and this will make it go forever. That's what I think.
Okay. So Marvel Mystery Oil is not going to be any great thing for like the lubrication parts of the carburetor or anything else.
Nothing's better than the oil you got in there. And Marvel Mystery Oil, like all the rest of the additives, throw your oil out of spec. So all of a sudden you've got an oil that was protecting up to 300 degrees, but now because of this additive, it's only protecting to 220. So if you get up, or 250, let's call it, or 300. So you get close to that, you're going to have metal damage, you're going to have the oil turning to a tar and no longer lubricating, and then you're going to have the motor just go to motor heaven. So, no, there's all kinds of these additives. You put in your transmission, it'll last forever. You put in the cooling system, and your cooling system will love you. If you do this, if you put something, what else do you, oh, if you put some additive in the gas tank, it's just going to make it run like a rape tape. You know what I mean? So you got all these, if this was something special, the manufacturers would have said, we want you to put this in every 50,000 miles. They don't do any of that. Now, if we put STP in your car, we're throwing the oil out of spec, but we're taking an oil burner and we're changing the viscosity of the oil to a thicker viscosity, and we're trying to control your oil consumption by using STP. So one symptom makes up for the repair. But to make you feel better and make your motor love you, you have a better chance of having the interior cleaned once a year that the car will love you.
But the Marvel Mystery Oil, they want you to add that to your fuel.
And you can add
a little bit in your gas.
You can add it to your fuel, too. It's just going to throw the fuel out of spec. Oil doesn't combust like gasoline does, so you're going to have an oily exhaust. And if you have a catalytic converter, and I think you do, it doesn't like oil. It likes gas. And so,
okay.
Yeah, you're not going to talk me into it. But I know you're not. I know you ask for information, and you can tell clearly that I have never, since 1979, sold anything, a feel-good liquid. Put it in, and your car will love you. I just don't believe that. Here's their deal. Every engine I replace has been damaged by the guy or the woman who had the steering wheel in their hands. Every engine I've replaced has been severely overheated or run low on oil or just hit the time at 300,000 miles where it just couldn't go any longer. But we do lots of engines at 50, 60, 70, and 100K, but they have been damaged by the person with the steering wheel in their hand. So those are the things you need to worry about. 10-4?
You got it. Thank you.
All right, you
save
bet.
Save me some money on that.
All right. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. There's five lines. 602-508-0960. Now there's four lines. Who's up?
Say good morning to Marty.
Marty, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Mark, this is one of those questions you're going to shake your head and look to the ceiling, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Sure, sure.
Mark, I'm trying to be a little bit conscious of my gas usage. Not nuts, it's the way it is. But, Mark, if my car's in good condition and I don't do what the police would call show of power, and I'm driving around town for the most part, is there anything you'd say, hey, do this or that? Is there something, you know, that makes my gas mileage a little better than another?
You.
Okay. That's
all right.
Okay.
All right. Let me explain. There's no oil I can put in. Now, what year is your Toyota?
It's a 2004.
Okay.
Little SUV.
Okay. In 2004, we didn't have the synthetic oils that we have today. We went from a 3,000 to 5,000 mile oil change to an 8,000 to 12,000 mile oil change because synthetic oils are so far superior to the Fred Flintstone oils we had from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. So if you wanted to give your motor a little love, you can go to a synthetic oil.
Okay.
Let me tell you, this is, you're going to laugh at this, but I think you get the picture because radio, you can't see me waving my hands and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I want you to hard boil an egg. And I want you to tape it to your throttle pedal and drive as if you can't or won't crack the egg. Now, I used to tell people, take a raw egg and put it there, and everybody get mad because they make a hell of a noise or a mess. But the idea is if you pretend that there's a raw egg between your foot and the throttle, you will get absolutely the best fuel economy that car could ever get. And under the circumstances, use cruise control as well, because cruise control watches the speed, watches the odometer, and it trims the fuel, and it manages the fuel, and it prevents you from pushing your foot to the floor.
Okay. Okay, great. Mark, one more. Does air conditioning demand more? Do you use more gas when you have your AC on?
Yes. Yeah, the compressor is belt-driven. And the engine's, its power is distributed between the water pump, the power steering, the air conditioning compressor, and a variety of other things that are written, that are driven by alternator, that too. So the alternator is going to load you up and take some mileage. The air conditioning is going to load you up, not the power steering so much and not the water pump. But all you have to do is drive as if, oh, you know something else you can do? Because Renee's gone. You can take, this is crazy. You can take a tall glass of water in hot water and put it between your legs and don't spill it.
Okay.
And it's not anything you want to do, but I'm drawing a picture with radio and I'm saying to you, that's really the key to get the best fuel economy. You know, have a full glass of water in your lap and don't spill it on your lap because you're going to go into Safeway and everybody's going to think you peed your pants.
Yeah. Some old lady gas, Peter Pan. Okay. Okay, Mark, you've done it. You answered the two questions.
Thanks
a lot.
Thank you, Marty. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. My board op is a great guy. And I know he's laughing right now, and he's shaking his head. And he's hoping that no one from the administrative point of view at KKNT is listening to the show that he's producing and I'm helping him with. So anyway,
we're July 4th week and they're not listening.
Oh, it's July 4th week, he says, and nobody's listening. So we're home free. So the peed my pants or peed your pants is going to fly. Who's on the phone now?
Say hello to Les.
Les, good morning.
Good morning to you. A fabulous show, and I concur about your referrals. Thompson Auto did something for me a while back. Fantastic folks. And I guess they are completely healed from the devastation of the storm.
Yes. So, yes, they had bad weather, caved in the roof, and literally put them out of business. But let me tell you the backstory, is the technicians were working in devastation. But they still were processing cars. Brian and Thelma were still writing work orders. They were trying to keep the place open. They had to have this huge construction where the roof fell in and stuff. And I admire them because they could have closed up and collected insurance, but they're not that kind of people. So thank you for their attaboy.
Yeah, they're really fabulous folks, just like you guys. Quick question. I'm driving my sixth Tacoma truck. This is a 4x. And last oil service and whatever, said that I should change the differential or fluids or something.
Okay.
And all the prior years, I started buying them at the pre-runner in 1999, and, you know, I purchased six. But prior, no one's ever mentioned about having, now, I don't put very many miles on a truck. I generally turn them over every 3 or 4 years or so.
Okay.
But I don't recall prior anyone at the dealership telling me I need to change that, you know, the gear oil. I'm saying gear oil. I
right.
guess.
Okay.
Well,
I think we're losing your signal, but let me answer your question because I'm up against a break. There's the new oils are going to elongate the use of oil, and in the old days we had 3,000-mile interchanges. Today we have 10 and 15,000-mile interchanges on engine oil. As far as differential concerned, it's always been somewhere between 75 and 100,000 miles. We would do a differential suck and refill. There's no drain plug on it. So you suck out the old stuff, put in new stuff. And so you're just not there yet because you're not putting enough miles on this thing to now sooner or later. Now, here's another thing. If the guy could come on into the shop here, Les, and he sticks his finger in the differential and he pulls it out and it's black and it's stinky, then he says, here's a bottle of brand new gear oil, and he puts it in his hand and it's nice and amber and you can see his palm of his hand underneath the oil. So he says, this is what you got. This is what I want to put in. Now, it'll still be this kind of ugly because I can't clean the differential, but it'll change the from dark to iced tea. And so that's why I want to change it. Isn't that what you want, that kind of conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. Or something. Or
right.
Someone I know I can trust. This was at the Toyota dealership.
Okay. I'm not
and
saying
again,
that... I know, but I'm not saying you can't trust the dealers because there's dealers, independents, chain stores, and mom and pops, and there's bad in
right.
every category. So, but
sure.
I got to run. But thank you very much. Thank you. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. We got 5 lines open. You know, when I started doing radio in 1988, people can't see you. All right, so when you go to talk to them, you can't say, well, this much oil and this much this and Freon is close and this is the evaporators over here. You can't do that. So, you know, I've learned how to use my mouth to describe things that I could draw pictures in or I could show them. If I was in front of a church group, I could say, this is an air conditioning compressor and stuff.
Right. And I bet if somebody stood here and held your hands, you wouldn't be able to talk.
No, you're right.
Because you're quite animated, even though they can't see you.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So let me talk real quick about a shop that we're real proud to have, and that's Kurt's Auto at I-17 in Bell. Kurt's and Eric can fix anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to send people and I say, well, they'll work on your lawnmower. Kurt didn't call me and say, stop saying it. He said, I've had a couple lawnmowers in here. And see, we look good when we do what you ask us to do and we're in the price range that we told you. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of shops, including ours, they're not allowed to be one penny over their estimate.
Right.
Not one penny over their estimate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they could get into it and the original estimate was $1.20 and then all of a sudden we found out we needed this part. So that's going to be a second call and we're going to add that to the list.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be documented on your work order. But we're no different than 50 other shops in town.
Sure.
Would they do the same thing?
Right.
So if you want to look at the best shops, go to marksalem.com and click on the best shops.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the phones. Chris, you're first. How can I help you?
Morning, Mark.
Come on.
Love the show and hate to see you retire.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to flush out my 350 engine.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of water wetter?
Yeah.
It's like a little bottle for like 50. Is it worth it or should I use just regular antifreeze
because, you know, it's just marketing. Water wetter is going to just tell your coolant to work better. It's going to help your coolant work better. It's probably going to ask to add 10,000 miles to your coolant flush things. And it's going to drop your temperature 8 to 10 degrees.
Are you being facetious, or that will really help?
That's marketing.
Okay.
That's marketing.
Okay, I just want to make
That's exactly
sure.
what it's all about, is marketing.
Okay.
I need to make you feel good. This is a feel-good purchase. Your car's going to love you.
Okay.
It's going to be, honestly, you put in your power steering, you put it in your gas tank, you put it in your engine oil, you put it in your air conditioning refrigerant, you put it in your brake fluid, it's going to love you. And you're never going to have to deal. Nor, and most everybody else does a master cylinder at 60,000 miles, and this is going to let you do it at 120. When in reality, it's between 80 and 100 on everybody's car.
Okay.
So that's kind of the feel-good stuff. But, and it's, if we buy it, you know that those kinds of things pay us, we buy them for $2 a bottle and we sell them for $19.95.
Mm-hmm.
That's motivation enough for a lot of shops to sell that stuff.
Okay.
And if you have to give back a bottle every once in a while, who cares?
Okay.
So, no, I'm not a fan. All right.
Now, should I do like the 50-50 mix or...
Yes.
Is it one brand different than the other?
No, you can buy the pre-mixed if you want.
One.
Yeah, you can buy the antifreeze already mixed, a 50-50. But why are you going to buy half water? You know what I mean? So just buy a gallon, put it in a 5-gallon Home Depot bucket, fill it up again, put another gallon of water with it. Boom, you're done.
And then what, pour it in with the funnel?
Yeah, yeah, because it's really hard to hit that little bitty hole.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would do if I were you, and that's actually what we do.
But yes, 50-50 mix.
Yes, 50-50
more
mix.
Antifreeze isn't better. It's and, better at 50-50.
And people will do that. They'll just use the gallon. The problem is we need to dissipate the heat, and it needs water to do that. Well, if you just put antifreeze in it, you severely have an impact, a negative impact on its performance. So you need to put water. Now, you can buy the pre-mixed, and if you want to do that, you can do that. So if you're going to flush your cooling system and you're going to use pre-mixed, buy 2 gallons of it. And it keeps in the garage for years. So you just put the lid on tight and you're fine. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Well,
thank you very much and have a safe fourth.
And thank you very much. Thank you. Scott, you're up next.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. I'm being a little ornery today, but then again, if I get called in and the manager said, "Did you really say something about someone peeing their pants?" I'm going to say, "Yes, sir." And he's going to go, "Can we try to avoid that?" And I say, "Yes, sir." And I walk out.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of conversation I've had with the GM for since 1988. So it's okay. But anyway, tell me how I can help you.
Yeah, Mark, I've got a 2000 Chevy Silverado 5.3, and in the morning when I start it up, it starts up no problem. Now, if I let it sit for a while, I have an extended hot start. And what I do at that time is I just prime the system with the key. And after about the third prime, it fires right back up.
Okay.
What my question is, I don't know if it's the fuel pressure regulator or if it's the fuel pump. I don't know how to diagnose between the two.
Okay, well, if it's a fuel pump, you can do 57, but you can't do 58. You'll run out of fuel. So it's a demand problem that severely disintegrates, or what's the word I'm looking for?
I'm not
it,
sure.
it causes you to have lower fuel pressure, which means it's gonna be negative to your RPMs and your speed. And it's like a fuel filter. It's like a fuel filter that's plugged. It's going to negatively affect the pressure.
Okay.
I'll tell you how to handle this. Go rent a fuel pressure gauge. Drive the car around and park it and watch the gauge. And so go out there every hour and look at the gauge. If it falls off, then either the fuel pressure regulator is bad or the check valve in the fuel pump is bad.
Okay.
And I'd find out which one it is. We have some rubber pliers, so we'll pinch off the fuel line or we'll change something to see which one it is.
See what changes.
Yeah, see what changes. So if you're driving around and it's 80 PSI or if it's 100 PSI and you park it and it's 80 or 100 PSI, you come out an hour later and we're at 30, then we got a leak. It's either in the tank or it's a fuel pressure regulator. So we just have to determine which one it is, and then we're home free. Now, like at the back of the tank, a lot of them have rubber lines that go into the tank, and we might pinch that one off even though the fuel pump is electric and it's inside the tank. But that's a hard one. It could be either one, and that's all it could be. And I would think that that's going to be a little difficult to diagnose because we're going to have to re-engineer the system to find out what it is. We might even take off the fuel pressure line and just plug that line, and that would test the pump all by itself.
I got you, yeah. I had this fuel pump replaced probably 2000 6 by B&D Auto.
Uh-huh.
They're no longer in business. That was one of your recommended shops years ago.
Okay.
And I had a fuel pump problem, and that's the last time I replaced that fuel pump.
Okay. How many miles ago was that, though? Miles?
Oh, miles. I'm going to say about 150,000 miles ago.
Okay. See, fuel pumps, when they fail, 99 times out of 100, you can do 61, but not 62. You run out of power.
Yeah.
And so, or they start leaking internally and the pressure drops so much that you can hardly drive to the Circle K.
So it wouldn't be a thing where it wouldn't start necessarily.
Right, right.
Okay.
If it didn't start, then it's dead. The fuel pump is dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But he can get it started, so it's probably not the fuel
pump. Well, like he said, though, it's the fuel pressure regulator.
Right.
Now, the pump sends pressure forward, then the pressure regulator says, you're sending me 100, but I only want 80, so mm-hmm. I'm going to send the engine 80.
Okay.
So that's what this happens, is the fuel pressure regulator just gives the fuel trim. All righty, we got to go around, but thank you very much, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We're going straight to the phones. Thano, you're up first. How can I help you?
Hello, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Okay, I've got a 2006 Sequoia V8 SR5. It's getting a funny smell predictably at the same time. Crazy thing. I'll start it up, drive it around town 10 or 15 minutes on the way to the freeway, get on the freeway. As soon as I get it past 70 miles an hour, I get a burst of this harsh smell, like burnt rubber, like burnt oil, like burnt a lot of things, but it's not what I understand to be a typical catalytic converter sulfur smell.
Okay.
And it just comes once. I have to open the windows, it clears it out, and then it's gone.
Okay. What I want you to do, I can't do nose stuff. You know, here from here. So I want you to drive around in maximum air. And see if it happens, and then go to normal and see if it happens. That will help
you
us diagnose.
AC?
AC, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're pulling on, when we recirculate, we just recirculate within the car. But if we're pulling air from the engine compartment, the grill in front of the windshield is where the air comes in, and it'll pick up crap from the engine and put it into the car. And so that's why
right.
in normal you have to roll your windows down because we're using swamp cooler, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're just taking air and cooling it off and shoving it in your car. So on normal you got to break your windows about a half an inch on each side or an inch on one side. With recirculatory, that's air conditioning in your house. We don't want any open windows. We don't want any openings. We're going to recirculate everything past there. And I can tell you that if you can make it happen, and you're not going to take my technician for a two-hour ride to get it to happen, but if you can make it happen or learn how to make it happen, there's a lot of us gray-haired guys that know what the smell's going to be.
Right. I get that, too. And I'm on recirculate almost all the time, and it happens in all weather.
Okay.
It's been going on for a couple of years, so it's like I don't even have to have the air conditioning running.
Okay.
And I still get this quick burst, and it's just once, and then it's gone.
Okay. Well, you could also have a dead rat in your air conditioning ductwork. You're laughing, but that's where I'm at. We found dirty underwear in people's cars. Whatever you put on the dash can end up in your ductwork.
Yeah.
So, I mean, dirty underwear, clothes, old food.
But one burst, one time a day, I mean, it seems like it would be more often than that.
No, you're right about that, but we're not going to use that to focus our repair on.
Right.
We're going to just try to find the cause of this stench.
No.
You know, and unless his wife's over there passing
or
gas.
Do you go by some weird building? Like, we go by
Mark,
the dump all
you.
The time.
Say that again, Renee.
I said, you don't go by some bad, you know, sewage
building.
Plant or something, because we go by the dump all the time. Okay.
It doesn't matter where I'm at, and it's just a quick burst, and then it's gone. But it happens after 10 minutes of in-town driving.
Okay, but
and
if
then
I
out on a freeway, and then I open it up, and there it is.
If I put you on recirculatory or maximum flow, You don't get any smell from the engine compartment at all.
But he still gets a smell.
Okay, I know. But I'm hoping that he'll say it's worse here or better here or whatever. We need to narrow this down.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question. What the hell are we going to do first?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Go take a ride and try to smell it.
Well, and that's the only thing. Take the and I've learned how to do it, and if you'll give me the technician for 15 minutes and what I'll pay for it, I need to take your technician for a ride. He needs to drive, and I'm going to work the air conditioning controls, and we're going to say, hey, do you smell this? Now, I can tell you that if we got something dead in there, it's dead all the time.
Right.
So it's going to make the smell all the time.
Yeah.
But we could be opening an vent where we're getting something out of the engine compartment. And it could be a lot of things. It can be a power steering leak, an engine oil leak. It could be engine oils. Valve covers are leaking.
That's what I was thinking, valve cover. But that would be more all the time.
And he could have the battery being overcharged by the alternator, creating a rotten egg smell. And we're sucking that out of the engine compartment.
Okay.
This isn't going to be easy.
No.
I'm estimating the diagnostic time. This is going to be one of those that you pay $999 and costs $1 to fix.
Yeah.
Anyway, Thano, thank you very much. You made us all laugh. Thank you. All right, we're going to go to Tom. Tom, good morning. How can we help you?
Oh, good morning, Mark. Tom Senior calling. I'm the owner of a third Mazda 6, and the last one I bought got a turbo in it, and I'm also kind of a maintenance fan. I think I go over the top sometimes.
1 minute.
The manufacturer's every 6 months or 5,000 miles you should bring it in for service. I'm 85 years old, and I mainly get it to go to the doctor's or the pharmacy or something, hardly ever on the open road.
Okay.
Am I overdoing it going in for every 5,000 miles or 6 months? I've only done about an average of 3,000 a year.
Okay. I would go the whole year. There's no question in my mind. Now, are you using a synthetic? It doesn't really make any difference because he's only going 3,000 to 5,000 miles.
Right, and
a conventional will cover that.
6,000, so he's probably using a semi-synthetic.
All right. Yeah. If you're using the conventional oil, it's okay. If you're using a semi-synthetic, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And if he's using a synthetic, he could add another third to it.
Right.
So those are your options. The only thing I'm going to tell you is this car hasn't been exercised. So this racehorse that you've got is real fat, overweight, and can't hardly run because it's because of you. So every once in a while when you're getting on the freeway, jam that throttle to the floor and giddy up that horse, warm it up, and exercise the motor. It's not going to hurt anything, but you're going to build up so much carbon if you drive around, you know, and you think you have a hot glass of water between your legs and you don't want to spill it. That's just not good. So, but I would say, I'd do it once a year. Sounds just perfect for him.
Yeah, I think so, too. That's what we tell a lot of our older customers that don't drive much.
Right. And you change your oil in May, April or May, just before the summer. So you go through the summer with fresh oil. That's what we tell everybody. But I agree with Renee. You can cut it back if you want.
Thanks very much. Appreciate the help.
You bet, Tom. Sam, you stay there. I got to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We're going straight to the phones, and we're going to start with
Sam.
Sam, good morning, Sam. How can I help you?
Hi, good morning. I've got a 2016 Chevy Equinox. It's got about 50,000 miles on it, and it's supposed to, I think, have the brake fluid changed around that time. Is that something that you need to do, or is it something that can go longer, or how does that work?
Okay. If you go to the auto parts store and you ask them for a tester for your brake fluid, it's a pass-fail tester. So you can just do that. We also have testers at our garage, and we're looking at your brake fluid. And we're looking at, see, the brake fluid is supposed to be in a condition where it never evaporates. And under pressure, we don't change it. It's a hydraulic fluid, so to speak. And so unless the system gets dirty, there's really no way. And color doesn't mean anything unless clean is clear and white like water, and you have black, tarry-looking brake fluid. that's there's no question that that's something that needs to be done. But if yours looks like real weak coffee and it passes the test, then you could go another 6 months or a year.
Okay, what price would that be to have a flush on that approximately?
Do you have a ABS? And oh yeah, you do. It's a 2016. Yeah. What you going to bid it?
I'm in my head. It's like $139, $150.
I was going to say between $100 and $150.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have our stuff here, mm-hmm. but $150. Now this is what we do. We put a contraption over the master cylinder, and we add air to it. And then we walk around and open all the bleeders, and we start from the furthest one from the master, which is the right rear, then we do the left rear, then we do the right front, then we do the left front. And we just kind of flow through it until we get it to change colors to more of a clear than more of a light coffee or dark coffee. We're never going to get it spotless, but we are replacing all the fluid. So don't think that we've got a scrubby bubbles machine that's going to clean it all up and we're going to have brand new, clear brake fluid inside, because that's not what's happening. But, you only have, how many miles? You got 50,000 miles on it.
I was going to say, a lot of times we do it when we do the brakes. So, I don't know how close you are to doing brakes, but you may want to do it at that point, too.
And have you done brakes yet at 50,000 miles?
No, the linings still look like they have, I don't know, maybe two-thirds of the pad left.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't go past 7,500. I just think I think it's better. I'd feel more comfortable if you do it at 75,000. 75,000. Come hell or high water. Because he's got 2/32nds, he's still got lots of brake pad. So that means he's not Rapid Roy the race car boy.
Right.
And he's driving some highway. Mm-hmm. So, it's just the brake fluid is a use issue, and we get it ugly when we use it. And mm-hmm. he isn't doing that.
Right.
All righty, that's our answer. All righty.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Sam, thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Automatic transmission, Phil. Mm-hmm. Do you know that he worked on Fred Flintstone's car?
I did not know that. Yes, I didn't know Fred had brakes.
he did.
Or
his
transmission.
Feet.
His feet. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember Fred Flintstone had his feet,
that's
him and
right.
Barney Rubble?
Yeah, he had rock wheels.
You ruined my message, okay? You just ruined it. Okay. Phil at Automatic Transmission Exchange has been around since 1968. He's been at the two-speed, three-speed transmissions that were shifted by a stupid cable or vacuum, all the way to the 8 and 10-speed electronically controlled transmission. So mm-hmm. the transmission looks at your speed, it looks at your throttle, it looks at your RPM, and then it goes, oh, I need to shift. And it shifts you to the next shifter. You're not even paying attention when that.
Yeah.
And oftentimes the shift is seamless.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can work, this is like working on cars with steel or wooden or rock wheels all the way to working on the shuttle. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a big difference. In the automotive industry, we had carburetors and fuel injection. We had three-speed transmissions. Now we have 8-speed transmission. But he's got a much bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Automatic Transmission Exchange, ATE, has been around since 1968. He's at 40th Street in Washington, centrally located.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do we have any callers?
Nope, lines are open.
Okay. I got to say, tell them that, I've been a little ornery today.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what else is new?
I've said some stuff that may have offended people, so I want to apologize if anybody was offended about me saying what I've said. But, my contract's over in November.
Stop it. July.
Yeah, but what are they going to do, fire me?
That's what I mean. In July.
And besides that, Jim, the general manager, when he sees us, he talks about some of the things he's heard we said, I said, and, mm-hmm. and he laughs. And I ask him, do you get complaints on me? And he goes, no. And so that's it. Folks, I've been doing radio since 1988. I'm a master technician. We have an ongoing repair shop that I've never said that. It's not about my repair shop. So I didn't say and talk and do an advertise. You listen to other guys on the radio, and every other word is mm-hmm. oh, us guys at ABC Auto, this is what we do. You need to bring it to my shop. We don't do that. We're interested in talking to you about your problem. Let's explore all those options. That's what we've done.
And send them to a place that we know is good and
yeah.
honest. And that's why you started your best car repair shops.
Yep.
Way back when, and we send them around the valley.
And that's the number one question we had back then is who's a good shop?
Right.
Now, we're in Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
There has been times when they've been in Tempe or Ahwatukee or, West Chandler, where we might say, well, we own a shop and here's the name of it.
Right.
So, but this isn't about the shop. You'll hear other guys in this valley that do this, thump their chest for an hour. and tell everybody how great they are. And the reason why I haven't done it, you already know this, is when I started at KTAR in 1988. Jim Tazarak was the general manager. You know how intimidating he was. He was 10 feet tall. He had a deep voice, and his hands looked like tennis rackets.
Mm-hmm.
He's passed since passed. He said to me, kid, if you think you're going to do an hour-long commercial for your shop, you're not going to last very long.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to their problem, you give them advice, and you find out where they live, and you send them a shop that you trust. That's the beginning of the best car repair shops,
right.
Was that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was scared to death of him.
Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, we were best of friends.
So you minded for one reason?
No, overlooked some of it. he would be the one that called and said, did you really say? And I would say, you already know I did. You listened to the tape.
Yeah.
And I said, so am I going to get a butt chewing? And he goes, yeah. He says, don't do that anymore. And I said, okay, fine. Yeah. And I tried my best not to do it.
Yeah.
All right, we got a caller. Who's that?
Say hello to Don.
Don, good morning.
Good. Hi, Renee.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Want to wish you a happy Ford?
Same to
you. Thank you.
You were talking about Barney Rubble. That's one of my cousins and yours, too, brother.
Yeah. Now, Don, I'm surprised he admits that he's that old.
Well, and Don is a tow truck driver.
Yeah, I know.
And we go back 30, 40 years.
I know.
And he has this big... Are you still driving a flatbed?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we switched to extended cabs, and we're on 22.5s now.
Wow.
Okay, what he's talking about is he has room for passengers for the first time,
yeah,
so he can pick
nice.
Up.
That's right.
And what was the second thing he had? What'd you say? Oh,
I said we're on 22.5s
okay.
now.
Okay, and what that means is that's one of the big truck tires, which means he can carry more weight.
Sure.
And so if he picks up a carload of fat chicks, he's got enough.
Oh, there you go again. Oh, boy.
I've got a question.
Okay.
Okay, my daughter's car needs to have the brakes, but can I get her to put her mouth on the... master cylinder and keep the pressure on there because she's full of hot wind.
I wouldn't do that.
you're absolutely right. Folks, what he's talking about is when we bleed your brake system, we put this adapter over the top of your master cylinder that contains your fluid. We add a little air, and then that way we don't have to have somebody in the car pumping your brakes.
Oh, okay.
So we use this contraption by pressurizing the brake system. You go to the right rear, and then the left rear, and then the right front, then the left front, and you just run it till it gets clearer. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's talking about. So he's making a joke about that.
Farthest point from the master cylinder.
Yes, right. Farthest point, right rear.
That's the way we learned it in school.
Yep. Yeah. All right, are you getting ready to retire, or are you just going to hang around the rest of your life?
I'm thinking about it. In September, I'm going to take some time off because the summer is getting to me, and it's still early.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I just turned 69. I'm still older than you.
1 year.
And I'm still kicking and taking names.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh no. Yeah. Kicking butt and taking names.
That's right.
He has always been my favorite driver because he has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And because we can talk that kind of talk together.
Okay.
But he was dependable.
Yeah.
And he never brought us a broken car. He never pulled the front bumper off it because the J-hook fell out and pulled the front bumper off.
Oh, I was going to say, he never brought us a broken car. Why was he towing it
then?
No, but I see what you mean.
Yeah, he never broke a car. He never bent the bumper. He didn't do any of that.
Oh, okay.
And I think he's been with two. How many towing companies have you been with in your life?
This one, if I stayed the whole years, I'm working on my 17 and a half now.
Okay.
Since 2006, the second time, but I was there with Bob and Butch from 91 to 2001. It was been 27 years.
Okay. So he's been around, and he's been at the same place, a few places, but he's been at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the top tow truck drivers there is. I mean, really and truly, I almost had him go get that 65 Corvette that was a special car.
59,
we had 59. Yeah. That I almost had him do it, but we had a Sholo guy too, so we had him bring it down.
Yeah.
Don, thank you very much. We got another caller. Who's that?
Say hello to Paula.
Paula, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I have a new, 2022 Honda CRV.
Okay.
And I'm looking for a reliable shop in Sun City.
Okay, I can do that. Chuck owns Automotive Dynamics, and it's at it's on the let me look at it real quick here. It's on the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue, so northwest corner of 99th and Grand. I've known Chuck since 1968. He's like the rest of us. We're just no BS. The technician's not going to walk in and sell us a story. You know, we're just going to slap him and send him back and say, go change your tune. So Chuck knows right from wrong. He's got a good staff there. Mm-hmm. Frankly, I haven't had any complaints about Chuck's shops in years. Mm-mm. And he knows right from wrong. So if you go in there and you say, I'm a referral of Mark Savem, they'll send me like $250. But don't let that bother you.
No, they won't. I know. You but wish, but no, they won't.
You have my permission to say, I'm a referral from Mark Savem. I'm new to your shop, and here's my problem.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that the way that she should do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, yeah, Automotive Dynamics, 99th and Grand, okay?
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your help.
Okay, thank you. And that's something else. If you're looking for good shops, go to MarkSalem.com, and all of our shops are there. Mm-hmm. These are people I know. These are people that love me, and I love them. Mm-hmm. We all know the difference between right and wrong. And when we step in a little poo-poo, we always raise our hand and say, we did it.
Right.
We did it, and we'll fix it and be done with it.
And you don't get money from them every time, so don't be fooling around.
No, that's right. No, that's absolutely right. Yeah. There's how many cars do we fix for free if the customer has three digits? I mean, if they have something really small.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll do a lot.
Because
what's
our newest customer number?
35,000. Yeah, 700 or something.
If you go back to 2 and 3 and 4 digit people, they're very special. Mm-hmm. When they walk in, we cater to them.
Yeah. I mean, we're good to all customers, but definitely the older ones, yeah.
But I'll tell them, too, even though you don't know, I'm talking to our audience, you don't know the name of our shop.
Yeah.
Okay? We still get 1.9 new customers a day.
Yep.
And they trust us, and people come back, and then we have how many second and third generations do we have?
Yeah, quite a few. I don't know the exact number, but we're working on grandkids' cars right now.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so we got grandma and grandpa, mommy and dad, and then we got kids.
Right.
So we've got that covered. But and you don't get you're not in business as long as we have. If you're taking people and ripping them off and lying to them, and every time you take it in, they're going to give you a laundry list of things you do.
Right. That's the same with all your best car repair shops. Everybody's been in business. Well, we require at least 5 years, but most of them have been in 20, 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
So.
And we're all gray-haired guys that know right from wrong, and the technicians are not going to tell us this story, or they're going to get hit in the head. By the side of our hand. You remember when your dad cuffed you? Or
my
dude?
My dad didn't.
Okay, well, my dad cuffed me, but he'd hit you on the side of the head and say, wake up, son.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. Yeah. It didn't cause your ear to bleed or anything like that.
Yeah.
Okay, mark@marksalem.com is my email address. Give me your phone number. I'll call you back. I call back from a blocked line, so I'll try to do my best. Or you can just ask me on the email what the question is or tell me the circumstances, and I'll write you back. mark@marksalem.com. Please wear your seatbelt. Please drive safely. God bless you, and I'll see you next Saturday.